And is this going to present the design for the GNOME mailer, which a number of members of the GNOME team have been hashing out over the last, like, 2 months about. So it started a couple of months ago when Miguel sent a message to the GNOME list, sort of a call for hackers to come out and help hash out these issues and work them out and come up with a good design we can all work on together. So my hope is that by the end of this talk, you guys will say, this is a really cool fucking design, and I'm going to help work on this because there's a lot of hacking to do. So, all right, where am I going to start? So sort of introduction. The GNOME mailer is part of a larger project, sort of an umbrella project, to create a set of groupware tools, right? And this is especially important for free software systems, or free software development projects in particular, because communications and people management and time management, these are the things which are globally distributed, incredibly hard to manage projects live and die by, right? So I get something like, I don't know, 400 messages a day. How many do you get, Federico?
Hard to manage.
Yeah, see, that's exactly the problem. And even using procmail to sort things into folders and so forth, it's hard to keep up with all these things. And moreover, it's hard after a month has passed to find the messages that you were reading a month ago, you know, based on searching for the subject, which was, hey, dude, or whatever, you know, not very useful. So we need new solutions. We need modern solutions. And one thing that's really exciting about this project is that there's an opportunity to do something that's not been done before, which is to get mail right. A couple of products have come pretty close, but no one's gotten it right yet, and that's exciting because we're going to kick their asses. So managing people and information, I guess just to give you an idea of the roadmap or the landscape, we want a mailer in our groupware project, we want a contact manager, and we want a distributed calendar at minimum. We want a Sorry?
You need to
GNOME IRC
client.
What's OSC? IRC. Oh, IRC, yeah. And we need a 17th IRC client. So what we especially want is all of these tools to be very tightly integrated to each other, very deeply and tightly integrated, so they can work together. And they can share information and things like that. That's what really distinguishes the good groupware toolkits from the bad ones. So GNOME is not a research project. It's important to stress that. So we don't have time to work for 6 months on something. We don't have the time nor the resources nor the people nor the interest to work on something for 6 months and find out 6 months later that that's not going to work at all. So let's just ditch all those lines of code and start over. So the design for the mailer that we're using is based on a lot of work that's come before it. In particular, we're using the Java Mail API 1.1. It's good. It's well thought out. It's a 150-page document. So that's what we're using internally for some of our representations, methods, and things. And we're stealing some really cool ideas from the DEC Pachyderm project, which I'll get into a little bit more later. So I'm going to give you a quick overview of the mailer, and then I'm going to talk about component models for a little while, because the whole structure of the mailer is based on the component model idea. Okay, Bonobo component model is the component model deployed in GNOME. I'll tell you what that is in a second and how it works. One of the really exciting sort of radical technologies in the mailer is the idea of a query-based folder. So you can think of your mail store, all of your folders, your IMAP server, your POP server, your local mail archives, as being a large database of mail, right? And although I'll go into this more later, in a conventional mailer, what you're used to having is your summary of your folder on screen, which says, you know, 470 messages, 22 unread, of your folder on screen, which says, you know, 470 messages, 22 unread, with a threading and so forth, is tightly coupled to a folder on disk, right? What we're doing here is we're decoupling those. So all folders that you see, all summaries you see, are simply the result of a database query on your mail store. So that's an exciting technology, and we have a lot of ways of making that fast, because that's always something people bring up. The other thing we're doing is we have a very clear division between the front end of the mail store and the back end. So what this means is you can replace the front end. You can have a GNOME GUI front end. You can have a web front end. You can have an Emacs front end if you like. And finally, something I've been trying to stress for a couple of months now is that GNOME is not a window manager. It's not exactly a desktop project. It's not a GUI. More than any of these things, it's a project to create a foundation for application development, create libraries and things like that. And I guess I really started, freaking out about this when I saw GIL, which is the engine for the Illustrator. It's built on the canvas Federico and Rafe Levine did, and a number of other things. And there's this huge foundation, and this program's like 800 lines, and it's amazing, just because there's so much to build on. So we're going to build on that foundation, too, and take advantage of it and write an 800-line amazing program. So, components. The reason we need components is that writing large applications is hard. Writing large integrated applications is even harder, where each part of the application is in some way interconnected to another part. Because if this breaks, you want to make sure that this doesn't break, and so forth. So in the past, people have written monolithic applications. When the Mozilla source code was released about 14 months ago, what was released was a monolithic application. The layout code, the code which took HTML, parsed it, and decided where to place things on the screen and how to place them, was basically all over the place. You know, you couldn't extract it and just write an HTML viewer out of the thing. They've changed that now, and they're moving to a component model. Let me just talk briefly about what that is. A component model is a programming methodology whereby you break the software down into small, self-contained pieces of stuff, right? Each one has a well-defined purpose and a well-defined interface. And then these little guys, you have, you know, a number of them, and they're interconnected by some sort of intercommunication mechanism. We're using CORBA. So that's nice for a lot of reasons, right? If something breaks, because this is self-contained, you can write a test for the whole thing, right? And you can find out this is what broke. And you've narrowed it down already. And that helps a lot. Using well-defined interfaces means that you know when there's some problem with the communication between the guys. And also, you can pass on maintainership in bits of small granularity. So this guy maintains this component, and this guy maintains this component. And that's important. So we want to get over the problems of extending and reusing, and especially maintaining code. Another big problem that we're addressing is that in monolithic applications, in order to familiarize yourself with the source base in which everything touches everything else, you need to read a lot of code. You need to do a lot of work at the beginning. Because we're all hobbyists, or because most of us are hobbyists, and we're not paid $75,000 a year to do this like people at Microsoft are, it's just not as likely that people are going to spend the time, the time required to raise the bar for entry into the source code. So we want to lower the bar. We want weekend hackers to be able to read the source code, read some source code for an afternoon, and be able to contribute that night. And the other thing is, in free software projects, you have is some guy who jumps in, contributes for about 2 weeks, and then disappears, right? And you need to be able to pass on maintainership of his module. So having things that are easy to understand is important. Small, self-contained, well-defined interfaces, intercommunication with CORBA. The other thing about components that CORBA gives us, and it's nice that we're using CORBA. Microsoft uses COM for their component model. And COM is showing its age. It's got some really... Oh my God. Miguel and I were reading in the bookstore the other day about iDispatch, which is basically their method and invocation mechanism. And it's the cruftiest thing. It's unbelievable. They have a number they assign to each function, each method kind. So you have like Excel print, -4,726, and pass that into the iDispatch when you want to call Excel print. So we have language independence, which is something that COM doesn't have from the beginning. And that's good, because we're going to write parts of the mailer in a scripting language, the main program, in fact. Also, components are replaceable, as I was saying. You can replace the front end of the mailer and things like that. Okay, so Bonobo. Bonobo is two things. First of all, it's the GNOME component model, which is the system where you can create these little pluggable guys I've been talking about. And also, it's the GNOME compound document model. So a compound document is a document which is made up of several parts, right? So if you have a word processing document and you have a spreadsheet embedded in it, that's a compound document. And it has to solve problems like, how do you display this? How do you embed it? If they're in separate processes, how do you reparent the window and make sure the events are forwarded properly, the menus get merged? When you save, how do you store it on disk? When you print, how do you do that? Bonobo uses CORBA interfaces. Bonobo is basically a set of CORBA interfaces, right? And as such, it's not bound to GTK. It's not bound to our ORB. It's not bound to anything. You could re-implement it in any system you wanted as long as you use those same interfaces. So each CORBA interface in Bonobo is wrapped by a GTK object. And the idea is to keep the complexity down for the developer as much as possible. So he doesn't have to, in the standard case, he doesn't have to see CORBA stuff at all. He just manipulates these GTK objects, and that's nice. And you can also derive other objects from them. And it maps well. So did you have a question? Oh, you were making some kind of gesture. Okay, no problem. So this is an old idea. It's similar to Java Beans, right? We want to be able to write components which take care of playing a sound file, right? Then if I receive a sound file in my mail as a MIME encoded attachment, I want the component to fire up inside the mailer and have an embedded playing thing, ask me if I want to save or rewind or whatever. So Java Beans, COM, ActiveX. I should say ActiveX has gotten a really bad name because Microsoft made the stupid decision of binding it to the web downloading thing. So you can download components and run them immediately untrusted. That's not what ActiveX is. That just happens to be something associated with it, which is unfortunate. So just some very basic stuff so you know what I'm talking about. Bonobo has a base class, or a base interface type called GNOME Unknown. And it handles two things. It handles lifecycle of objects using ref and unref, just reference counting. And it handles something called query interface. So query interface is used for dynamically discovering the interfaces supported by an object, right? So if I'm talking to this object and I say, you know, do you support GNOME editor or desktop editor, right? I can find out if it can act as an editor. So I can say to it, if it supports GNOME Unknown, this base class interface, I can say, do you support GNOME desktop editor? It'll say, yes, I do. It may be a source code editor. It may support many other interfaces as well. But dynamically discovering interfaces allows us to plug things in places where they otherwise wouldn't be able to fit. You can also have non-GUI components. And it's our intention to put CORBA interfaces, CORBA plugs on system services like for sending mail, checking your printer status, et cetera, et cetera. And all these components are named in our GOAD system. And there are some issues about that. But anyway, you can ask for a service. You give the name to the name service, and it'll activate it for you. You can activate it in process yourself. And the nice thing is if it's already fired up, you can just get a handle to it, currently running the service. So, okay, this is the idea of a contained document. So you have a container here. Let's say this is, I don't know, AbiWord or something. This is numeric, which is the spreadsheet, AbiWord being the word processor. So remember this image, because you're going to need it. Okay. So my mouth is dry. Hold on a second. One problem with Olay, which is Microsoft's object linking and embedding architecture for doing the compound document image, which you all remember, is that it's very complicated. In order to implement Olay, you have to implement like 23 separate methods in your application. It takes a long time. There's a lot of boilerplate code that you just don't want to deal with. We have our own problems with boilerplate code in GNOME, but we don't want another one. So ours is very simple. In order to act as a container application, you make 6 function calls, and of course, you make 6 error checks along with those function calls. So there are these 4 interfaces that you need to know. The container, the client side, the view frame, and the UI handler. All containers have to support GNOME container, which says, I am a container. The only method on it is, what are the objects inside you? So that's very simple. For every embedded object, there's a GNOME client side, sort of a, well, it's a one-to-many map, but it could be one-to-one. Anyway, there's a GNOME client side, which the embedded object talks to when it wants to talk to its container. Then you have a view frame, which sort of corresponds to one view of the object, one view of the embedded object. Finally, there's the UI handler. These servers handle the menu and toolbar merging that takes place when a guy gets embedded here. Because if I have a numeric spreadsheet embedded and I click on him, I want his menus to be merged into the top-level menu so I can do all the numeric functions. I want his toolbar items to appear and things like that. Then when I click off of him onto something else, I want those to disappear. If he has an edit select, which is special, I want it to override the one that's there. Things like that. The containee has to support these interfaces. At minimum, GNOME embeddable. This is the third name for that interface we've had. We haven't released yet, so we're allowed to do that. It was originally GNOME component, and then I told Miguel that was a really terrible name because components are like general things. And then it was GNOME bonobo object, and we all agreed that really sucked. And then we're GNOME embeddable. So this is an embeddable component. It has to support, in addition to GNOME bonobo object, hydration and dehydration interfaces, which allow you to load data into and out of it, right? So if you have a spreadsheet embedded in your document and you want to give it some specific spreadsheet data, you have to be able to query interface on it for some kind of thing, some kind of interface which lets you feed data into it. We use persistence and monikers, which are out of the scope of this thing. So then there's the view, which is one specific view. All views of an embeddable are identical, so you can do split window editing and things like that. And there's the UI handler. So compound document storage, let me just talk briefly about this because it's interesting with respect to MIME. If I have one of those documents, the image you're all remembering, and I hit save, the way it works is the container application saves its data, then it steps through each of its objects. And for each of those, you know, remembering that all this data has to be saved in a single file so I can transfer it to my friends and stuff, thanks. It looks at the ID, the GOAT ID of the embedded object, writes it into the file, and then writes out all of its data. So it asks it, what is your data? Give me the data you need to rehydrate yourself, to recreate yourself. It gets it, it writes it in. So it's sort of like a tag at the top saying the object data type and then the data itself. Sort of like MIME and MIME types and then MIME contents. Strikingly similar. So I put that out there because it looked pretty cool, I thought. So this is the design for the GNOME mailer. I made this in Dia, although it's maybe not very good advertisement for Dia because I'm not very good making diagrams. Dia is a GNOME diagram editor, so everyone should hack on that because Xfig is not fun. So here's the basic idea. At the center of the GNOME mailer architecture, we have the Corba mail service, right? And this is separated from everything else by a process boundary or maybe a machine boundary. So the Corba mail service, it sits in the middle of everything. People connect to it and they say, give me my messages, give me a list of my messages, give me this message, delete this message, or I'd like to transmit this message. So basically, everything except the UI features is handled in the Corba mail service. You get mail summary data, mail threading data, things like that from the mail service itself. Then you can plug any kind of UI into this, right? The GNOME front end happens to be made up of a number of components. It kind of looks like a bicycle to me. But anyway, it's a number of components. I'll talk about this in a second. But you can plug in a web UI or a text UI or whatever you like. Another cool thing you could do is that you could plug an IMAP proxy into the Corba interface. Oh, this little sliver is supposed to be a Corba interface. I didn't know how to represent that. So you plug an IMAP proxy in, and then you can connect legacy clients to this thing, Netscape and so forth. Then we have backends. So anyway, I'll talk about all that in more detail now. Oh, no, first I have to talk about vFolders. This is the query-based thing I was telling you about. So the idea is information at your fingertips. No, that's Bill Gates' idea. The idea is basically to treat your entire mail store, your database of mails, as a set of web pages or something like that. Then you web search on them, right? Except you need more powerful mail-like semantics. So as I was saying, in traditional mailers, your summary view of one folder is tightly coupled to a file on disk or an IMAP server or something like that. And in general, what you try to do is you try to set up a hierarchy, right? So you say, I'm going to put all my GNOME mails in this folder, right? And I'm going to put all my mails from my mom in this folder. And then all my mails from my friends are going to go in here. Then what if you're on the GNOME list and you're talking to somebody and you become friends with them? You know, do you move all their messages out of the GNOME one into the friends, or you just copy it all, or you just make a whole new GNOME and friends folder? So essentially, what we end up doing is we build these hierarchies, but then we end up searching through the hierarchies manually ourselves. So it's time to abandon the idea of hierarchies and embrace searching as a way of life, right? So here's how we're going to do that. The idea is a vFolder. I think the name was by Yao Nguyen, who was very active on the GNOME mailer list for a couple of weeks. Very smart guy. So a VE folder is a view folder or a virtual folder or something like that. And basically you come up with some search, right, like from mom, and then you apply it to your GNOME, to your mail repository. And the result is a folder. That's it, very simple. So some static queries might be things like to the GNOME list, right? That's the kind of thing you can cache. All the static queries can be cached to speed things up. Or from mom, or you can combine them. If my mom ever mailed GNOME list, I could have this search. And you can index the contents of the mail itself. Finally, for every store on the back end, oh, I should stress that these searches can be performed over multiple stores. Basically, you ask the Corba mail service, bind me to this store, and to this store, and to this store. So you can ask it to search over an IMAP server, a file on disk and a web page, something like that, containing your mail. And it'll do that. There's a default search which will return all the messages in one store, basically. So when you're moving over from your legacy hierarchical system, you can do it like that. Okay, so there are going to be dynamic queries too, like unread. That's going to change as you read your messages. And you have to think, you have to do a little bit of UI thinking there, because if you're reading your messages and you read it and it's no longer unread and it just disappears from your mail folder, that might be confusing. So you know, you don't want, you can't do the obvious thing. Unread. Oh yeah. So you can combine, you can aggregate searches, obviously. I'm using scheme syntax here, by the way. But this is just supposed to be pseudocode. This is the easiest kind of pseudocode for me to write, because there's no reason we can't come up with any kind of query language we want. VM, by the way, the Emacs VM mailer does use a search stuff, a search syntax very much like this. But it's not the, we're trying to make this into a way of life for people. We're trying to make it so that people routinely create searches. So they say peanut butter, and they get all their peanut butter mails and all the conversations about peanut butter and things like that. So one thing that we have to address is threading, right? Because if I just say, give me all the information about gazelles, right, in my mail thing, it'll search for gazelles. And let's say Federico sent mail to the GNOME list saying, I really like gazelles, and Jonathan replied, me too. Jonathan's me too message is not going to be in the folder, right? So you need to be able to say things like, is this in the same thread as anything which contains gazelles, and then add that to the V folder. And finally, I mean, if you look at how dynamic a query like this is, you're checking to see if it was new to the GNOME list and sent after midnight. So we think that's cool. We think that's exciting. Finally, you can annotate messages. So you can annotate messages or the sender can annotate them. The idea is that you can have something like the meta tags at the top of an HTML file. So when I get a message from Jonathan that says me too, and I know that he's talking about gazelles, I can say, okay, gazelle, add keyword gazelle. Maybe I have that bound to control one or something like that. And it'll add that keyword. So later when I search on it, even though he wasn't, maybe he didn't reply to the thing, and so it didn't end up in the same thread. So you can add keywords to things. The sender can provide keywords too if he wants to maybe help you search. That might not be very useful though, because he probably doesn't know very much about your organization. Finally, a lot of people are concerned about speed. So what we can do is we can cache static queries, right? And things called summary files. So when you import your mail database into the GNOME mailer, what will happen is it'll sit there for a long time as it indexes your entire mail database. And all the static fields, the ones that aren't things like unread and so forth, will get cached in summary files. And then we can do incremental indexing. As your mails come in, as you import small pieces of mail, we add those and so forth. When you delete messages, we remove them, blah, blah, blah. Another thing that's important to think about, or a little bit interesting to think about, I'm not sure if it's important, there's no way to know now, is query scheduling. In certain cases, it may be faster to run one query before another, to run them in a different order. So if you say, or from mom, sent after midnight, maybe from mom is an extremely fast search to run, so you really ought to try that one first in case it matches. So there was some talk about that. Okay. So then there's the mail service. This is the lightning bolt thing. This is a per-user Corbis service. What we really want to do with our Corbis services is have three kinds. We want to have per-system ones, like sending mail, printing, and stuff like that. We want to have per-user ones like, here's my calendar, read it, blah, blah, blah. Then we want to have per-display ones like, here's my file manager currently running on here. Here's the corporate interface to it. Right? So it, what it does is it manages the back-end mail stores. Right? These can be in any kinds of formats, mBox, MailDir, whatever you like, IMAP, POP. But there's going to be a native format, which is customized for this kind of search-based idea we have. It'll be especially fast. So so then it's going to have a Corbis interface. It's going to allow you to do the following things. The Corbis interface will be loosely based on the Java Mail API, but moreover, we're going to be using the Java Mail API internally to represent folders and stores and messages and MIME and things like that. So you should be able to execute queries and get a set of mail data and the threading data associated with it. These will have the titles and maybe the first couple of lines of the message, so you can do nice tricks like displaying the first kind of couple of lines with the header. Which Outlook does, and it looks pretty. You want to be able to fetch message bodies, so you can display those. You want to be able to modify message data, like annotating the message with keywords, deleting the message, changing the whether it was read or not, flagging it, And you want to be able to transmit composed messages through here. We can automatically maintain a box if you do that. Finally, and this is a hard problem, and this is why we keep saying database, is that you want to be able to do replication and synchronization. So if I have a laptop, which I do, and I have a desktop, which I also do, then it's a big problem for me because I send a message on my laptop that sits in the outbox, and that never makes it in my desktop's outbox. Or I receive a bunch of messages on my desktop, I rsync them to my laptop, I delete a bunch, and then they don't get deleted on my desktop. So how do we handle that? You want to do something like timestamping or sequence or associating sequence IDs with message metadata. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the future. But when you think too much about this stuff, you keep running full speed against database problems. So I think basically what we're going to want to do is replace the whole backend notion with a database, a regular database, which is pretty solve these issues. So the mail service backend can handle local mail servers and remote servers. Internally, it uses the Java Mail 1.1 API. And this is a system called CAML, which is implemented by Bertrand Guinouf in Paris. When I met in Paris, he's very cool. And basically, he's implementing it directly. It's identical to the Java Mail API. He just read the document and translated code. So he's just dumping out all this Java Mail-like code. It's fully asynchronous. This is kind of important. If you have a mail service which is not fully asynchronous, and you ask it for a message, and it just blocks there, and you're sitting there waiting for it to send you the message, and you're going to start blocking too. So if there's some synchronicity sitting there in the corporate mail service, it's going to propagate its way into your application. You're going to have to handle it somehow by either creating your own asynchronous sort of proxying layer or something like that. That's a mess. You don't want to have to deal with that. That'll your GUI will freeze or something like that, and your user won't like that. So we have a fully asynchronous mail backend. So the Java Mail API 1.1 provides these notions of a session, which is like once you've logged in, you're authenticated, you have a session. A provider, which grabs you a protocol, a store, a transport. This is on disk, over the wire. A part, which is sort of the base class for messages and my messages, and the messages themselves. Three folder summary caching, I already talked about that. So let's see. Okay. I guess we'll go over the GNOME front end. We're creating a whole bunch of groupware tools here, not just the mailer. So there's the calendar, which allows you to schedule appointments remotely. And there's the contact manager, which you maintain people's business cards with and stuff like that, and delete them. And then there's the mailer itself. So all of these, we want a unified kind of interface to these things. We want them all to be in one place. We want a single point of access to all of them, even though there are going to be several processes involved in all this. We want to put it all in the same place for the user. So we have the idea of a UI container component. This is a graphical component, which is just a window, basically. And then the other components get embedded in it, just like compound documents, except it's not a document, it's a control. So this is actually the idea of ActiveX controls. So the mailer will have the summary component up here, and then it'll have the single mail message display component down here. And maybe you'll have a little calendar summary over in the corner. And it'll look like one application to the user, but it's a bunch of applications being embedded with Bonobo, and the menus merged and so forth, all happening automatically. So we have a summary view component. What happens is you query the mail service, you get a list of messages and the threading data, and you pass all that data off to the summary view component, which renders it. What you can do in the summary component is annotate messages, modify their metadata, delete them, and so forth. And then you can trigger activation of a mail composition component or mail reading component or whatever. Now, what I should tell you is that all these components are, they don't know anything about the other components, right? So they have to be connected together by a main program. Remembering what I said about trying to keep the bar as low as possible for entry into free software projects, our idea to do this is to make the main program be a scripting language, be written in a scripting language. So you can write some Perl or something like that and connect all these components together and use them. And that's nice, because if some guy sits down and he sees a piece of Perl code and he modifies some things, some lines, and runs the thing, and he sees his user interface change dramatically, then you know, that pleases him. If he can add a feature very simply, that's exciting. And so he's going to want to keep hacking on it, and that's good. So when you hit delete or something like that, it actually will send an event into the main program saying the guy hit delete. and then that'll pass it off to the Corpo Mail service. So you can say, make deleting impossible in the script, or whatever. We want to make it as customizable as possible in the script. So then we have a single component for displaying a mail message. And it's actually more than one component. What it its job is just to render a single mail message, right? So if I just get some text in, that's very easy, DTK text, right? But if I get a multi-part MIME message, and it has some text at the top, then it has a business card at the bottom, and in there it has an image somewhere, and a sound file, how do I render all these things? What my mailer does is it prints out a line for each one, and I can hit things. I can hit a key, and it'll save it to disk, or fire it up with XV or something like that. We want to be able to display these things in line. We also want to be able to handle HTML. So here's how it works. The message display component iterates through the attachments, right? And for each one, it looks up an associated GNOME component. So if it sees text HTML, it says, oh, we have a Mozilla component. That's convenient. So we'll fire that up. It fires up the Mozilla component, feeds it the data from the MIME message attachment, and then it displays it. So for text plain, we won't have a component. We'll just do that natively in line, because you're going to want to embed things in that, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. But the nice thing about this is that we can handle all sorts of things. You pop up an audio player in the middle. You pop up an image thing here. But then you can handle things which don't have an exact graphical representation. For example, vCard. Right? And here we're getting back to the integration thing. vCard is an internet standard for representing business cards and passing them around to people. So if I receive a vCard in the mail, and you've received these things from people, I think windmail.dat, when you get that, I think it's a vCard. Then it would be nice if your contact manager component would immediately fire up and display the business card and maybe automatically populate your contact database or ask you if you want to add this guy or whatever, or look him up, see if the information is out of date or something. So that's how that works roughly. Mail composition, I'll talk more about that in a second. Mail composition, though, we're going to have one interface which says, I can support mail composition for the GNOME mailer. Right, it's the mail composition interface. And then anything supporting that can be the composer. So we're going to have a native composition component, which will let you, you know, type 2, and you type someone's name, and it fills out their email address and so forth. But then any editor, Emacs can be extended to be a mail composition component just by adding support for a Corpo interface to it, whatever your editor of choice is. So it composes the message, communicates with the Corpo mail service, and transmits it. Okay, the main program, as I mentioned, would be written in a scripting language. We just need Corpo DII. We just need Corpo bindings for the language, basically, and that's it. So we're looking at Scheme, Perl, maybe Python. I don't know. Ideas would be helpful there. So it's going to create all the UI components. It's going to activate them, embed them in the UI container that I was talking about, and initialize them, so make them blue or yellow or whatever. So that'll be nice and easy to change. And then marshals the UI events, like I was saying. So when the user types D, the event goes to the main program, which then forwards it along to wherever. It also handles the connection to the mail service. So it handles actually piping the data from the Corpo mail service into the message display component and so forth. Okay. Oh, this is neat. So I bought a book called Microsoft Outlook Fast and Easy, because I figure we have to beat Microsoft Outlook. And it was fast and easy and $13. So the book is basically a bunch of screenshots. And the cool thing is actually there's a book called Red Hat 6 Fast and Easy. And they were almost like right next to each other on the shelves, right? And Red Hat 6 Fast and Easy is not about Red Hat 6. It's about GNOME. It's unbelievable. The whole thing is screenshots of GNOME. Like, here's the GNOME file manager. And it has a picture. And it says, tip, right-click on the desktop to do it. And I was like, oh, my God. So I thought that was cool. Tip, the calendar crashes now. So then next to that, I bought Microsoft Outlook Fast and Easy, and Miguel bought the GNOME one. And I was looking at the screenshots, and I saw that one thing that they support in Outlook, and this is kind of scared me for a second, because I was like, holy shit, how are we going to beat this application that has everything in it, is systematically gathering data with forms. So you can send a form out to your office saying, should we have a picnic at 12 o'clock, yes or no? And there's a radio button, yes, no, and you can vote. You can select one, you hit reply, and the message goes back to the originator. and it'll automatically tally results and things like that for you. So you can also do things like set up a registration form for a conference and things like that. And these are all done as MIME attachments with a special type. So I don't know if we'll actually implement that, because personally, if I received a big XML message in my mailbox, which was a big form, and I couldn't interpret it any other way than having Glade available, then I might be a little bit upset. But it's a neat concept. Basically, what we do is we take the Glade GUI designer and we make it into a component. So Glade GUI designer allows you to put widgets together, right, using a mouse, and create a user interface. And then you can save that representation of the user interface to XML. And that can be reloaded into your application at runtime. So I put a VBox in, and I put buttons into it, and I put a text entry thing. I hit save, and it saves it to nat.xml. And then I can load that at runtime, and it'll display the thing. And the cool thing is you can change the way the user interface looks at runtime without recompiling. You can remove buttons if you don't want people to know about certain buttons or whatever. And we can use it here. So then you embed a form. You have a MIME type for the thing that you come up with. I don't know, text crazy form or something, and make it XML based. And you need a libglade component to view the things so that people can click on the buttons and stuff like that. So something to consider. Synchronization and replication. Okay, so there are a number of things here. You may want to synchronize only parts of your database, right? So for example, I have like 400 megs or something like that of mail on my laptop. And if I have a Palm Pilot, I don't want to actually try to download all of that onto my Palm Pilot. I want to be able to select parts of that. And the natural way of selecting those is with a V folder, as we were talking about. So you narrow your... Miguel!
Yeah?
How's your flight?
Terrible.
Oh my god. All right. So you narrow down the range of messages with the V folder query, and you can synchronize those to your Palm Pilot. Each mail repository ought to maintain a set of metadata with sequence IDs. Whether this is done in a true database or some hackneyed thing we put together is up for debate. I think it ought to be a database. And then it can perform synchronization by comparing sequence IDs. So as incoming message, so you need to look at all the situations where your mailbox can change and figure out how to synchronize those. When a message comes in, that's a new message, and that should be synchronized with other repositories. So that's a change that's important to watch. When message metadata is modified, that is to say, a message read stamp is changed, whether it's been read or not, it gets flagged, you've replied to it, you forwarded it, you bounced it, whatever. And when a message is deleted, you have to remember to take care of that somehow, or you'll end up with the same message being copied back and forth between machines, never quite going away. And message annotation. So if I add a keyword to a message, then I want that to synchronize also. So I think we ought to use a database backend for this, basically, and hopefully solve all of our problems. But it's an important topic to think about. I think I'm done, actually. Oh, no. Oh, I forgot. Integration. Okay. So one thing that's really cool and exciting about the component model is that it makes it straightforward for us to integrate with things, right? So instead of having code which has its fingers everywhere, all over the place, like the layout engine had in the original Mozilla, we have these clean interfaces and we plug components together. So for the contact manager, for example, when you're typing a mail message in the mail composer and you type Miguel, right, what it ought to do is communicate with the contact manager component, say, Miguel, what are the possible expansions on this? And if there's only one, it'll fill out Miguel at nucleicu.unam, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a very simple kind of integration you're going to want to have. As I receive messages from people, as I view them on lists and stuff, I may want to have it automatically populate my contact database. That's another kind of integration. So the mailer will say to the contact manager, add this guy. And then there's the vCart handling I was talking about earlier. Okay, another exciting kind of integration is with the calendar, right? So actually, the way most distributed calendar appointment scheduling is done is through email. So the way it works is you send a message out and you say, I would like to have a meeting at this time. And I think this is a request message. And then people reply with reply messages. And embedded in each of these messages is a MIME attachment of type text vCalendar. It's a vCalendar event, right? And it's formatted such that you can tell it's a request to see if I have busy time or a request for an appointment or whatever. And so this should get interpreted by a calendar component. So when your mail display engine is parsing through the MIME attachments and it comes across text vCalendar, it will fire up the associated component, which will embed the widgets, parse the thing, and give you the option, accept or decline this meeting, which will then spawn another mail message which gets sent off to the originator. So these are done using the IMIP and ITIP protocols, which are internet standards. And we were reading the RFCs recently, Miguel and I, last week. And they're full of errors and things like that. But there are all these strange comments that make you wonder what was going on with the author. Like, all numerical values in this document. No, how did it go? All numerical values in this document. No, how did it go? All numeric and hexadecimal values in this document are represented in decimal form. Okay. Glad that's clear. So we're wading through them, though. Finally, there's an idea, which I guess Miguel had, of doing an executive summary groupware component. So the idea is that when you have your UI container and you fire it up for the first time during a day, or maybe just when you first log into your computer, since this is your mail, after all, you want to know about it early on, it'll do something like this, except instead of this, you have a window with which says you have 724 unread messages. You have four messages which you have marked as, this is important, I need to reply to it. They are 7 weeks old. You ought to reply to them. So the mailer will integrate with this executive summary component and add items to it to be displayed for the user. I should talk about reminders for a second. A problem that I have, and that I know a lot of my friends have, is that they get a message, and they say, fuck, I really need to reply to this guy, or I'm getting kicked out of school or whatever, so I'll do that later. And then they flag the message, or they don't, me, I don't, and then they say, okay, I'll come back to this later, and they never do. So we need some sort of actual mechanism for dealing with this horrible problem. And the way to do it, I think, is with integration with the calendar. So let's say I have a key bound to marking a message as important and worth replying to. Let's say the key is P, for example. So I hit P, right? And what it should do is it should go to the calendar and should add a list item to the to-do list, right? Saying message ID number blah, 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 blah is really important and you said you'd reply to it. And maybe it'll set 24 hours as a default. And within 24 hours, if you haven't replied to it, it reminds you. The way you do that is you just set up a reminder, set an alarm associated with it, and then if the guy responds, you bind the responding action to the canceling to-do item action. So that's how that should work. Okay, now I think I'm done. Oh yeah, what's the status? Bertrand is progressing on Camel. There are some interfaces that need to be fleshed out and a couple of issues. But it's basically Java Mail API implementation coming along. Bonobo is basically working. We have some things we're ironing out right now and we'll be releasing soon. This is important because everything's based on Bonobo. And we're starting on all the UI components and the backends and things like that now, basically. So everyone here should subscribe to the GNOME mailer list, find out what we're doing, and contribute as much as they can, and go to the GNOME webpage and check out the module and things like that. So, I'm ready for questions.
You mentioned...
Oh, you're supposed to use the microphone because they're recording.
You mentioned that you would use this for sorting the folders so I wouldn't need to use procmail anymore. Would this be used as the local delivery agent?
No.
So the mail would sit unsorted, so if I have something set to reply automatically, how would that be handled? Would it wait for me to log in?
Automatically?
I have a procmail script.
Right.
If something comes in from my mother...
Yeah.
Whose mail sometimes doesn't get through to me because she's on Roger's wave.
Okay.
She puts confirm in the subject line, so she automatically gets
she
a reply
wants to
saying
know that your machine received
yeah.
the mail. So what you can do is you can set in your procmail. You can still use procmail, and you can set something up in procmail. It'll put your message into a folder. You can set something up in procmail to fire up a GNOME mailer component of some sort, which will compose a response message automatically using a scripting language which you like and are familiar with or whatever. And send the message out and send it through the Corvo mail service so that you'll have a record of the fact that that was sent out in addition. So, does that answer your question?
I was just wondering if you use it as the local delivery agent or if
okay.
you have to call it from Pro.
No. The idea is not to use it as a local delivery agent. As messages come in, you will incorporate them just like you do in any typical mailer, okay. and then they get indexed and so forth. we're not using procmail because we don't like hierarchies, basically. So you can still maintain a hierarchy with procmail and then just wrap the whole thing in this idea of indexing. So layer the web search idiom over a hierarchy if you want. That's basically what most people are going to be doing as they transition, we think. Yeah?
Is there anything like this?
Oh, you have to, can you, I'm sorry.
Okay, sure.
Oh, screw it. Fuck them.
Just tell me. Is there anything like this being done elsewhere in the Linux world? Like, are KDE people solving the same problem, or are they not really looking at this yet?
I don't know about KDE people in particular. I do know that most of the, pretty much all of the free software mailers I've looked at recently don't address these problems. They're conventional mailers. There was a GNOME mailer, someone's probably going to ask, there was a GNOME mailer called Balsa, which is just basically a very conventional standard mailer. It doesn't address a lot of these problems. And we really want to get mail right in a way that no one's ever done before. So that's the idea here.
There's the Horde project, which is similar, but it's PHP 3 based, so it's entirely through the web browser. Which
you have
is
a question?
Good if you're not there.
Do you plan for temporary metadata? Like, I search for the URL and for GNOME.
Mm-hmm.
I want to highlight it in the viewer.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course. That's just a display thing. Yeah.
If you search for a keyword,
yes.
Add temporary metadata.
Yeah, absolutely.
For
yes. We definitely plan to support that. Don't worry. So.
What are your plans for supporting encryption?
Oh, right. So, encryption.
Oh.
Yeah, that's part of the, in part, bound to the contact manager. So, what we want to do is we want to have a list of registered keys which we trust for some certain users, PGP keys or whatever kind of system we're using. Right, we'll definitely support PGP. And each user says, you know, here's my PGP public key and so forth. So when we receive messages from a guy, if you have this option turned on in the mailer, what it'll do is it'll query the contact manager saying, I just received a mail from Jimmy Joe, and it'll look for Jimmy Joe's PGP key and check to see if he's authenticated. As far as encryption goes, export regulations notwithstanding, we think that would be really cool. But unfortunately, we were just having a conversation about this the other day because we were talking about CORBA authentication and how that's kind of a hard problem. And the fact is software engineering is really hard enough without the government trying to screw you by placing extra restrictions on what you're trying to do. So it's a shame. But yes, we want to support encryption. Is that all? Okay. Yeah, we don't want to rewrite all that. We're definitely going to steal that from somewhere. So we're looking at other pieces of code right now to see which is the cleanest. What do we want to incorporate in this program we want to last for years and years and years? So what's well-written enough? And we'll plan to rewrite that. Because there's a lot of research and stuff that's done in this area, and we don't want to mess up. I mentioned the front end. So to reiterate, in case people didn't get it, the CORBA mail service is divided by a process barrier from the front end. That means that you can replace either of these things. So you have a GNOME front end, which is a number of components, or you can plug in a web front end, so you can you can access your machine remotely, or you can plug in a text front end or whatever. So that's what you were wondering. Okay. Is that all?
How easy would it be to add other protocols later on down the road, say ICQ or NNTP?
Adding other protocols to the mail backend, such as NNTP, would not be hard at all. No, because these are implemented as loadable modules. They just have to conform to the Java mail or to the CAML API, and it's not difficult. So that'll be easy. As far as ICQ goes, I don't really know exactly what the issues would be there. You receive an ICQ message, you want it displayed, but you maybe also want it archived and indexable, things like that. I mean, there are some complicated problems here. If I receive voicemail, wouldn't it be nice if that integrated with my mailer also? So that when I receive a voicemail, like when I worked at SGI, there was a program we had where it pops up a window and you can scroll through your voicemails and double click on one of them and it will play it out of your phone. So integration like that is cool, right, and useful. Because people at this point have ICQ, IRC, mail, news, /dot, voicemail on their cell phone, voicemail at home, pages, you know. And the amount of information and the media by which we're getting it are just very diverse, and that's a problem. So we need to unify these things somehow. The APIs we're designing are general enough to allow us to extend them in the ways that you're talking about. so that when an ICQ message does come in, we can proxy it and say, store this in the ICQ folder or whatever. And you can have a query term for that. So medium equals ICQ or whatever, and it'll query through those. So it's not just mail anymore.
How hard is it to add Corbo hooks to existing programs? Like if somebody's written Contact Manager, maybe in GTK or not in GTK?
In general, it depends on the program, of course, right? Over-architected programs tend to be harder than small, like Contact Managers and stuff like that. But in general, you could add a Corbo interface to something like that, probably with ease, right? Because let's say you want a Corbo method to add a contact, right? There already has to be some function in the program to add a contact. So you just put a Corbo method in front of it.
So it's like five, it's supposed to 500 lines?
No, it could. If you have to use Beagle, it's like wrapping a function and Beagle procedure. It's the same.
Presuming the thing is. Yeah, it's not hard at all. Basically trivial. So.
Can Bonobo Corbo objects talk to Miko or KLM Corbo objects?
Not right now. Okay, yes, you just have to turn on this one option in orbit, basically.
I don't care about security.
Yeah, so the option is, exactly.
If you don't care about security, yes, you can talk to Michael, but if you care about your machine not being raped on the ass, you probably want to. So GNOME ships with by default with a secure orb, and that's different.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, we're all working from the same Corbo specification. Vague though it may be, the protocols are the same, and we can communicate with one another through these.
Because of the process separation, it wouldn't be once that integration was better, it wouldn't be a big deal to produce a KDE front end.
That would be awesome. That would be great. We would be very excited. We would hold hands and dance. That would be good.
What did you say?
We would hold hands and dance if
KDE
made a front end for our stuff. So. Is that all? Oh.
Will it be able to get mail from a previous program?
Oh, yes, definitely. When you start this thing up for the first time, it is going to search for your mail in Mozilla or in Pine or whatever and try to incorporate it. It won't do this in an aggressive or rude way, but it will definitely have the functionality to do this in a very polite and courteous manner. So. Okay, I guess that's all. Thanks, guys.